I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Marielle Nanasi. She is Executive Director of New Energy Economy. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me, Mary Charlotte.
So we are here to talk about the work you do, which is basically dedicated to having a clean and sustainable energy future for New Mexico, for the world, but based here in New Mexico. And part of what is going on to that end is, for various reasons, coal is maybe, to some extent, on the way out, but there's a reality that some coal mining companies and some utilities are actually getting out of the coal business. Is that true?
Yeah, it's very exciting. There's really a transformation in our energy economy, both nationally and internationally. Coal is on its way out, mainly because it is the single greatest driver of climate disruption, and also local impacts, pollution, haze, and then also health impacts, asthma, lung disease, heart disease. And so for all those reasons, we are seeing a transformation in our energy economy. That isn't exactly so in New Mexico, unfortunately, with PNM. Many of your listeners probably are aware that EPA and PNM and the state have come to an agreement to close down half the coal plant. Now, just so you know, the coal plant's in Farmington. It's the San Juan Generating Station. It's 1,800 megawatts, which is a lot of energy. Most of the energy is half of the energy is for New Mexico, but the other half of the energy is transported to Arizona and California for those utilities. So the EPA and PNM and the state have this agreement to close half of that coal plant because it's one of the largest and one of the dirtiest coal plants in the United States.
And that's saying a lot.
It is saying a lot. It's the 18th dirtiest coal plant out of 500 coal plants in the United States.
Wow.
And so that's good. I support that, and lots of other environmental organization and other health organizations support the closing of that coal plant.
And doctors and nurses and public health workers.
Huge. The American Lung Association. I mean, yes. The problem is that is being faced all across the country is, and even all across the world, frankly, is what should that replacement power look like?
So basically, you're cutting that half of the power off, which is great because it's a coal plant, but you still need to produce that amount of energy. What is going to replace it?
Exactly. That is the question that we're facing. And in December, PNM filed its plan, replacement power plan. And what they asked in December was to replace it with more coal.
No.
Yes. What's happened?
Being what? Being burned where?
At the same plant, but the problem is, so there's half of the plant is left, right? But the other entities are exiting that plant because they're like, oh my God, coal is costly.
And what do you mean by entities?
Well, so there's California, there's five California entities, and then there's other entities. There's a Utah company, and then there's Tri-State, and there's City of Farmington. Those are the other owners of the other half of the plant.
The half that's going to stay open?
The half that's going to stay open.
So wait a minute.
And
PNM
Arizona too.
Doesn't solely own that plant?
Correct.
They co-own it with all these other companies.
Yes, PNM's the owner and operator. It's only the owner of 46%, but it's the operator of the entire plant.
Ah. And so these other companies that co-own the plant, they want out?
Correct. And all the California utilities have to get out because of something called the Global Warming Solutions Act in California that says there can be no new investments in coal. So they are saying, okay, we're getting out of here. And then other companies, Tri-State, which, you know, produces electricity for most of the electric co-ops in New Mexico, they're saying, we want to get out of this coal plant as well. So PNM's proposal is to buy shares of the other entities that are leaving and said, okay, we'll buy those for New Mexicans at the cost of $52 million.
And then burn coal as usual.
Exactly.
Oh, dear.
this is very problematic because not only is it problematic to buy coal at a time when there's a transition going on all across the country, but there's a lot of costs that are associated with coal that have heretofore not been part of the cost of burning coal. Those have been what's called externalized costs. As the public, have borne the brunt of all the healthcare impacts, for instance. And so now the federal government is coming in and saying, you know what, we actually need standards for carbon regulation, for instance, that just happened on June 2nd. The Obama administration has declared that we are going to start regulating carbon. So that's going to be a new cost. Another cost is something called coal ash. So just like the ash that when you burn a fire in your fireplace, there's ash that's produced. Well, there's ash that's produced from the burning of coal. And that has not been regulated ever before. But there's been these major spills of coal ash in, for instance, North Carolina.
Wait, what do you mean spills? Like, what happens to it after you burn it? Does it get taken away and then it spills on the way to wherever it's going?
Well, that is a possibility as well, but in the case that, for instance, this one of the most famous coal ash spills, which is now Duke Energy in North Carolina, is facing a $10 billion, that's the current price tag for the coal ash spill. They were just held in these open ponds, and it spilled into the waterways in North Carolina. What the case is in for PNM is right now it's being held in the mine from which the coal actually came. They just put it back into the coal.
Into the mine,
the coal ash into the mine. But the problem is the question of leaching into the ground and into the groundwater. And the EPA has said these are significant health hazards. And so we need to start regulating that.
Now, what is in coal ash that makes it so dangerous?
Well, I didn't understand this till I learned that in coal, when it's not burned, it's contained these things like mercury and selenium and lead and whatever. That's coal. It's contained within the rock. But once it's burned, for some chemical reason, the synergistic effects of it, the concentration in the ash becomes even more harmful.
Well, you've burned most of it off, and then this stuff is left over.
Correct.
Something like that. And so, okay.
And it's like a powdery substance.
Like ash.
Exactly.
And then it becomes available in the environment. What are some of the things that are in it?
Well, some of the things that are in it are arsenic, barium, chromium, lead, mercury, selenium. These are things that
you don't want to boil in your tea water in the morning.
And not only that, they literally affect the neurological development and impair brain development in children. They do things like impact all the biological and systems of humans and animals. So much so that the places where there's the most coal ash and the most coal ash contamination, people say that their nervous systems are impacted and that they have pain all over their body, like nonstop.
So it's what they call a neurotoxin.
Correct.
We're talking to Marielle Nanasi of New Energy Economy. So this is coal ash. Coal ash has been with us for as long as we've been burning coal, probably in much greater quantities now than ever before. It's put wherever the power generators want to put it. Are there regulations?
There have not been coal ash regulations, and the federal government has just proposed coal ash regulations. And according to PNM, if those federal regulations would be adopted, PNM would be out of compliance for at least six of the contaminants for the San Juan coal ash.
Contaminants that you just mentioned, like arsenic and barium and so on.
And mercury.
So we've got a lot of coal ash that is probably or maybe wreaking some havoc here and there in New Mexico. Do we have any data about that?
Well, we know that just last year alone, PNM produced 1.8, or that San Juan Generating Station produced 1.8 million tons. 1.8 million tons of coal ash. And right now, it is in just put in the mine. So the fear is that it could be leaching into the ground and then into the groundwater.
And there's no regulation that really tells us one way or the other how it could be best practice most safely stored.
Correct.
Very interesting. So PNM serves and gives the energy that, I mean, sells us the energy that allows us to turn our lights on in what part or parts of New Mexico?
PNM serves 500,000 customers, and the biggest load is in Albuquerque, their biggest load, and then in Santa Fe, and then some parts of southern New Mexico, like Silver City.
Okay, so it's a big chunk of New Mexico's greatest population centers.
Correct. It's the utility that produces the largest
amount of energy.
Yeah, and for the most number of customers.
Now, we were starting to talk about plans for replacement power, and you were saying that the plan for replacement power was just more coal.
But there's other things too, actually. The other part of their plan, thank you for bringing us back to this, is nuclear. And PNM wants to import nuclear from Arizona, that 600 miles away.
How do you import nuclear power?
Through transmission lines.
Transmission lines, okay.
So that's one of the issues, which is that it's built in inefficiency and that it's 600 miles away. But the most important thing about that is that it's super expensive. The nuclear power is super expensive. And, of course, there are risks galore environmentally. And so that's something that's worrisome. And there's not going to be a single job that's produced in New Mexico if we're importing nuclear from Arizona. The other thing that they want to do is build a gas plant in Farmington, even though PNM has no customers in Farmington. And that's a 177 megawatt plant. And then the last thing that they want to do is add 40, a paltry amount of solar.
40 what?
40 megawatts okay. of solar. And so that your listeners have an idea, context of what's happening in New Mexico in terms of our energy portfolio. Currently, 56% of our energy comes from coal. 20% comes from nuclear. About 14% comes from gas. 5% comes from wind. And only 2% comes from solar. In the state with a SunZia on its flag, only 2% of our energy comes from solar.
Okay. There we have it, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so this whole question of replacement power and what the PNM plan is to do that, which is essentially coal and nuclear, and the other ones being less significant players, much less significant players in terms of overall percentage. What does the Public Regulation Commission have to say about this, the PRC?
Well, the PNM filed their plan before the PRC in December, and at the time we had a hearing that was scheduled to be heard in August of this year. But just a couple of weeks ago, PNM actually filed a motion to add more coal to their plan. So they were proposing 78 megawatts of coal, and now they want to buy 132 megawatts, which is nearly double. Not quite, but almost double.
And add that to it?
And add that to it.
Okay, so then it's basically triple the original.
Yeah.
So what does the PRC have to... I mean, they're the Public Regulation Commission of the state. What is their role And do they have to approve this plan?
They do have to approve this plan or tell PNM that it's not prudent. That's the legal standard. And then PNM has to come up. PNM has to make a case that their plan is the least cost plan and the best plan for ratepayers. So a number of entities, including the Attorney General, the Albuquerque Water Authority, a group called the New Mexico Industrial Energy Consumers, New Energy Economy, Western Resource Advocates, and a group called the Coalition for Clean, Affordable Energy has all intervened and are challenging PNM's replacement plan and saying, actually, there is a better way. And this their plan is not the least cost scenario. Interestingly enough, the city of Santa Fe has come out really boldly, unanimously opposing PNM's plan, as well as the county of Santa Fe. And a few nights ago, Albuquerque City Council also voted to oppose PNM's replacement power plan. There's one thing also that we haven't discussed, and that in PNM's plan, they are also asking for something called undepreciated assets. That's so wonky sounding.
That's you have to have an accounting degree to understand what that is.
Yeah, no, which is one of the ways that they do their
that's a
things.
Lot of that's actually a lot of what happens in public policy is that they use words that the public doesn't understand. Maybe those are the best words to describe those things. But anyway, so what are these? What did you call them?
Undepreciated assets.
Okay.
So PNM is proposing to close down units 2 and 3 of the San Juan Generating Station and buy coal from unit 4. But they're saying, you know what? We had on our balance sheet to make profit on units 2 and 3 until 2053, until the year 2053. And we really still want those profits. And even though they're unearned and the plants will actually be closed and not producing any electricity, we still want those profits. And so they have asked the Public Regulation Commission for $250 million of what they're calling stranded assets.
Undepreciated assets, stranded assets. So in other words, on my utility bill and your utility bill will be every month somewhere buried in there a charge for energy that they didn't produce because they want to make a profit.
Correct.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, in microeconomics, which I took freshman year in college, you made a profit by producing something.
Correct.
But now this is really all about taking money out of the pockets of citizens without producing anything, at least as you describe it.
Right. I know that some of your listeners know about Bill McKibben and how he had this tour called the Do the Math Tour.
Yeah, 350.org, Bill McKibben, yes.
350.org. And what he said was in that, and it's very similar, he says, look, a lot of these big oil companies have leases to drill. And the fact that they have leases to drill is worth something. And they put that on their balance sheet and say, hey, we are so wealthy because we have the right to drill, and that is worth something, the right to drill. And he says, hey, we can't let them do that. We need to leave the fossil fuels in the ground, because if we do, we won't have a planet left. It's sort of the same thing.
We'll have a planet, but we won't necessarily have the kind of life and ecosystems living on it that support human and other life.
Yeah, there will be more and more climate chaos.
Cockroaches. Go ahead.
So PNM saying, look, it was on our balance sheet. Don't you see it? It's right here, which it is on their balance sheet. And even though we're going to close it, we depended on that, and our worth depends on us getting that $250 million. So guess what? We want that. So the city of Santa Fe, the county of Santa Fe, and the city council of Albuquerque have come out and said, you know what, that's not really good for our entities in and of themselves, but more importantly, the ratepayers of our various cities and county, because we shouldn't be saddled with the financial burden of your poor financial and resource planning.
That would be like if I decided some time ago to invest in 8-track tapes, knowing that CDs were coming, but I ignored it or I didn't care. And then my investment went bad because nobody wanted 8-track tapes anymore. And then I said, I want the government or I want citizens to pay me for my bad investment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they have to be responsible for their financial decision making. I mean, it's not maybe to some people they didn't know that there was going to be carbon regulation or coal ash regulation, but that's their business. This is their utility business. Yeah. They're supposed to be proactive and be cognizant of what's going on and start, you know, planning, frankly. Yeah. It's resource planning about the future. And that's exactly why we don't want them to be reinvesting in more coal at this time. They're huge financial and environmental exposures, and we don't want the risk to be shifted from the shareholders to the ratepayers.
Shifted from the shareholders to the ratepayers, that means that under one scenario, if the value of the company goes down because of these stranded assets, the company and its shareholders take a hit, but they don't want that. They want their profits and they want us to take that same hit.
Exactly.
So when you were talking to Marielle Nanasi of New Energy Economy, when you look at this and look at this plan, and that's what you and many environmental organizations and health-oriented organizations and so on, and government organizations, at this point, multi-partisan, multi-interest group.
Actually, it's unprecedented.
Issue.
It's unprecedented the number of people that have come together to oppose this plan for primarily, but not exclusively, economic and environmental reasons.
So, in other words, when you look at this, when you and all these other groups who have banded together to oppose this plan, what's the alternative plan?
Thank you for asking. First of all, New Energy Economy's position is that there should be no new investment in coal or nuclear, period. And that the replacement part, just that part, which is only 17% of PNM's whole, is whole energy portfolio. We want no coal and no nuclear, and to have that all be replaced with renewables.
Is the infrastructure in place for that?
Some is, and some needs to be built. But we think that that will be at less cost for the rate payers and then more beneficial economically, environmentally, and health. Still, even with this, PNM will still have coal and nuclear in their portfolio. We're only talking about 17%. This whole case is only about 17% of the replacement power, because PNM still has other coal assets and other nuclear assets.
What is the role of the public in, I mean, I'm trying desperately to even understand what you're talking about, and I think you've made it pretty clear. But what is the role, do you think, of the public in taking action and making its views known? And to whom should they make those views known?
First of all, it's really important that people understand that this decision, this energy decision by the PRC, is probably the most important energy decision for decades to come, because it will lock in infrastructure. We're talking about an investment of hundreds of millions of dollars. And if we don't get it right, it means either further stranded assets that PNM will claim and ask us to reimburse them for.
Down the road.
Exactly. Or it means coal burning and nuclear burning for the next 30 or 40 or 50 years. And we will be an outlier when we could be instead really a leader in a new energy economy.
You mentioned a moment ago that we're only talking about 17% of the entire plan. What about the other 83%? Why aren't we talking about that?
Because that part has not been part of this replacement power plan. And that part needs to be addressed as well. But look at, I mean, this is a big enough fight at this moment. It would make, if we had our way, our alternative plan would take us from what's currently 7% renewables, as I said before, 2% solar and 5% wind, to 30% renewables. That would be a huge transformation in our energy mix and would really set a different trajectory. And I actually think that then there would be such a clamor for more of that. We could actually be a net exporter of solar and wind because we have the resources.
We have lots of sun and lots of wind, at least at certain times of year. Now, you are involved in promoting a campaign called Sol, Not Coal, which is about basically solarizing various facilities here in the state of New Mexico.
Yeah. We have an Indiegogo campaign, and should any of you out there in listener land want to go onto Indiegogo and look up Sol, Not Coal.
Or just go to newenergyeconomy.org. I'm sure there's a link there.
There is a link there. And we are raising money to solarize three community institutions. And what we're trying to do is really actually expose the vision of what's possible to show that this is the way to go. It's great because we partnered with the county and we solarized one fire station. And when the county received its first payment from PNM, it was only $11. But meanwhile, the county didn't pay for electricity that month and received a check back. The county was so excited that the commissioners voted unanimously to solarize all fire stations in the county, and that's what we're about to be doing. So these are visible, tangible, demonstrable models that show that solar is cost-effective today. So all of you out there who want to get solar on your house, this is an absolute thing that you should do in Santa Fe. And there's great financing out there for that if you can't afford the upfront costs. But it's effective today, and it actually increases your home value. And it's really fun to watch the meter run backwards and have PNM pay you. Santa Fe is one of the counties that has the most solar deployment, and we want to increase it dramatically. And I encourage really everybody to consider solar for your homes. But then also, I'm very proud to say that the city of Santa Fe is on track to meet 20% of its own electricity consumption through the use of solar. And they've done an amazing job, and they're doing more. There's going to be a big solar array going up at the Genoveva Chavez Center, the Buckman Direct Diversion. There's going to be a ribbon cutting later this month. So the city is really doing a lot. Of course, it should have 100% solar, and we can do that. And individuals can do that. And we're hoping to, through this case at the PRC, really challenge PNM's economic assumptions that solar should not be deployed on a massive scale in New Mexico.
So once again, if people want to get involved and express their opinion, I mean, the Santa Fe City Council, the Albuquerque City Council, the Santa Fe County Commission have all voted to oppose this plan. Does the public need to be heard from also?
Absolutely.
How do they do that?
So when this, I have a feeling that the hearing is going to be delayed, and it's not going to be in August, and we'll be finding that out shortly. But one is to actually show up to the PRC during this hearing and to testify.
So, when is that?
Right now it's set for August, but I think it's going to be delayed. So that's important, and you will be able to find out that information on the New Energy Economy website. But the other thing is to write letters to the editor. It's to go meet with your PRC commissioners. How many of you out there even know who your PRC commissioner is? But really to say, hey, you know what? This is the most important energy transformation period, and we need you to do what's correct for the health of our children.
Marielle Nanasi is Executive Director of New Energy Economy. Once again, they're on the web at newenergyeconomy.org. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me.